In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Today we have, as I mentioned, our feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, proper to North America, the United States specifically. So, as we know, the Spanish discovered the New World, South America. Juan Diego himself had been converted some 10 years earlier, he and his wife. His wife had since died. and he was a very poor Indian of the lower class. But on the morning of December 9th, this is 1531, he was on his way to Mass. And he reached the base of the hill, Tepeyac Hill, there in Mexico City, modern Mexico City today. And he heard what alerted him was beautiful singing atop the hill, and a mysterious voice saying, "Juanito, Juan Dieguito." That's a diminutive form, a very familiar form of his name. And so upon climbing up the summit, he says that he saw a most beautiful lady whose garments shone like the sun, and even the earth upon which she stood was sparkling like a rainbow. And this lady said to him, "Juanito, most humble of my sons, where are you going?" He replied, "My lady and my child, I have to reach your church in Mexico to pursue things divine, taught and given to us by our priests, delegates of our Lord." She then spoke to him, "No one understand well, most humble of my sons, that I am the ever-Virgin Holy Mary, Mother of the true God, Creator of all things, Lord of heaven and earth. I wish that a temple be erected here quickly, so that I may therein give all my love, help, and protection to you and to the inhabitants of this land. I will listen to your lamentations and remedy all your miseries. Go to the palace of the Bishop of Mexico and manifest to him my great desire, that here in this plain a temple be built to me." Juan Diego went straight away to the bishop's palace, who was Bishop Juan de Zumarraga at the time. And he related to him all that he had seen and heard. And, of course, the bishop did not believe him one bit and sent him away. In fact, he wasn't quite so dismissive, but he did ask, he told Juan Diego, "A sign is going to be necessary. For something like this, you have to give some kind of sign." So Juan Diego went straight away back to the place where he'd seen the vision. He returned to the top of the hill, and there again was Our Lady waiting for him. So he prostrated himself and said, "Lady, least of my daughters, my child, I went to where you sent me to comply with your command, and I perfectly understood by the manner of the bishop that he believes nothing of what I said. I exceedingly beg you, therefore, that you entrust the delivery of your message to somebody of importance, somebody well known and esteemed, so that they may believe him, because I am a nobody." The Blessed Virgin answered, "Understand, my son the least, that I have many servants to whom I may entrust the delivery of my message, but it is precisely through you that I wish this to be done. I earnestly implore you, my son the least, and with sternness I command you, that you go tomorrow and see the bishop. But first, my little dear, you will return here again so that you may take to the bishop the sign that he has requested. With this he will believe you, and in this regard he will not doubt you. Go now, I will await you here tomorrow." The following day, however, Juan Diego's uncle became gravely ill, and it was feared that he would die. So Juan Diego stayed behind that whole day, caring for his uncle, and then departed the next morning, the 2 mornings later, to summon a priest. As Juan Diego approached Tepeyac Hill, he remembered the mission from Our Lady and remembered that he hadn't done as she asked. He had delayed an entire day. And so as he neared the spot where he would have met her, he goes around the other side of the hill so that she won't see him. However, you can't hide from God or the Blessed Virgin. And as he was going around, she came down from the top of the hill and caught him. And she said, "What is the matter, my son the least? Where are you going?" And this is where, as I mentioned last time, the humanity of the account really comes out. He's embarrassed. So Juan Diego bows low before her. "My child, most tender of my daughters, my lady, God grant you are content. How are you this morning, lady and my child? Is your health good? Lady and my child, forgive me. Be patient with me for the time being." So she patiently waited for him to finish. And then the Holy Virgin answered, Hear me and understand well, my son, the least, that nothing should frighten you or grieve you. Let your heart not be disturbed. Do not fear your uncle's sickness or any other. Am I not here, who am your mother? Are you not under my protection? Do not be afflicted. Your uncle will not die, but be assured that even now he is cured. The lady then ordered him to climb atop the hill where they had met previously and to gather the flowers that would be there. So Juan Diego climbed the hill, and as he reached the top, he was amazed to find roses, not just some roses, but an amazing variety of all kinds. This is in the dead of winter. Nothing should have been growing here, much less these roses, out of this hard and stony ground. So immediately he starts cutting and gathering these roses in his tilma. Then he goes down the hill and bringing the different roses, and then Our Lady arranges them with her own hands in his tilma. And she says to him, "My son, the least, these roses are the proof which you will take to the bishop. You are my ambassador, most worthy of all confidence. Rigorously, I command you that only before the presence of the bishop will you unfold your mantle and disclose what you are carrying. You will relate all that you have seen and done and heard, and so induce him to build the temple as I have asked." Juan Diego did so. He's carrying the roses folded up in his tilma. And before he can reach the bishop's palace, he is detained by servants. And they treat him very rudely, and they demand to see what's in his tilma. He's not showing them. They try to force his arms, but they're absolutely unable. They can't even budge his arms. So they dismiss him, and he's standing there, right? Poor Juan Diego, he's standing there with the roses for like an hour, not knowing what to do, but just waiting. He's not going to leave, but they won't let him in. So finally, they feel bad, and so they allow him in to see the bishop. And so Juan Diego kneels before the prelate and says to him, "Sir, I did what you ordered. I asked the lady from heaven for a sign that you might believe me. She granted your request and graciously has given this proof." And here he unfolded his tilma, and the flowers scattered all over the floor. Now immediately the bishop dropped to his knees, along with all those who were present, not on account of the flowers, but on account of the beautiful and miraculous image imprinted on Juan Diego's tilma. The Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Our Lady of Guadalupe, had indeed appeared to Juan Diego and left the proof on the very garment he was wearing. So with tears, the bishop begged forgiveness for not having attended to her wish sooner, and rising to his feet, he took the tilma from around Juan Diego's neck and placed it in his chapel. And that very same tilma is still there in Mexico City today, 400 and almost 500 years later. And this, as I mentioned last time, soon after these apparitions, the native Indians began converting in the millions. This was the beginning of Mexico's conversion, and the awful pagan Aztec religion would now be destroyed through the direct intervention of Our Blessed Mother from Heaven. Now, the interesting thing about this is in the image of Our Lady Guadalupe, you see she has her hands folded before her breast, and you see these little black ties around her waist. That was the Aztec Indian sign of pregnancy. A woman would tie a black sash around her waist to indicate she was pregnant. And so in Our Lady of Guadalupe, she is pregnant with our Lord. That's the image. And the other signs in the image, she's standing in, the sun is behind her, she's in front of it, which was a sign to the Aztecs, she is greater than their sun god. The moon is under her feet, which lets them know that the moon god whom they worship is nothing under the feet of this Blessed Virgin. And the very site of the hill on which she appeared, Tepeyac Hill, that had been the site of a pagan temple dedicated to the earth goddess known to the Aztec as Tonantzin. She was a bloodthirsty Mother Earth goddess. She wore a skirt of serpents and a necklace of severed hands, hearts, and skulls. And so that was the previous female goddess on Tepeyac Hill. That temple had been destroyed, and now Our Lady wanted it replaced with a temple in her honor. In the Andes regions, the goddess Tonantzin is known as Pachamama. Now, the miraculous image, the first miracle of this image of the Juan Diego's tilma is that it should have disintegrated in about 15 to 30 years. It's made of cactus fiber, And so it's inexplicable that it has remained intact for almost 500 years without either fading or cracking, like the paint on the image. In 1778, a worker accidentally spilled acid onto the image, and nothing happened. In 1921, the Freemasons wanted to destroy it, so they concealed a bomb in some flowers and placed it on the altar directly under the image. The bomb exploded. The marble altar rail and windows 150 feet away were shattered, and a brass crucifix was twisted out of shape, but this fragile tilma, almost, you know, nearly at this time 400 years old, was left completely unharmed. The stars on our image, on Our Lady's garments, correspond exactly to the constellations that would have been in the winter sky in that part of Mexico on December 12, 1531. The strange thing about it, though, is that the stars are not arranged as we would see them from Earth, but as if you were looking at them from the other side, from outside, from the other side of heaven. More interestingly is that no matter what the surrounding temperature, the tilma is always 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, the exact temperature of the human person. And even more amazing is the eyes of the image. When you examine the ophthalmist was examining the eyes, and he discovered microscopic figures in the pupils, which was impossible for anyone to have painted that small. And examining them at 2,500 times magnification, this ophthalmologist, there we go, was able to identify 13 individuals in both eyes at different proportions. And he said, this is exactly how the pupil would reflect images as if you were looking at them. And they're different from this side of the other eye. In the 1970s, a Japanese optician who was examining the eyes fainted. And they asked him why. And upon recovering, he stated that the eyes were looking at him when he was studying them. They were alive. And amazingly, when light is shined directly on the eyes of Our Lady, the pupils contract. And then they expand after the light is removed. So these are just some of the miracles of the tilma of Our Lady that science, once again, cannot explain, and they're still studying it. This was Our Lady's direct intervention to convert the pagans, to replace the gods of the heathens, which are demons, with her son. Right, the worship of the true God, worship of the God who loves humanity, who wants our salvation. Any other false religion will only end in our destruction or in the perversion of our worship of God. Even those pagans, those Protestants, they want to worship God properly, but they don't know how. They're mistaken, sometimes catastrophically, right, as in the case of the Aztecs, actual demon worship. And today, you know, we see this the sad effects is when we do not worship the proper God, there's only one, or we do not worship God properly, the world falls apart. Misery increases, conflict increases, spiritual poverty just absolutely abounds. But Our Lady, right? Our Lady does desire our salvation, and she will intervene. And I would like us to end thinking of these words of Our Lady. And I want us to imagine these words were spoken to Juan Diego, but also they can be spoken to us, right? Our Lady wants to remind us she is here, she is our mother. Hear me and understand well, my children. Nothing should frighten you or grieve you. Let not your hearts be disturbed. Do not fear sickness or any sickness or anguish. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not in the shadow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Do not fear. I will listen to your sorrows, and I will remedy all your miseries and afflictions. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.